And we live in a day when such times, as I mentioned, difficult days, are all around us. Difficult circumstances, challenges, confrontations that we face on every hand. It is there. We are conscious of it. We must be aware of it. And therefore, we live in a day when the future of the cause of Jesus Christ is to be brought into sharp focus in the face of the challenges that confront it. We've been thinking about that to some degree already, about the future. In these meetings, about the work of God in days to come, what faces us, what we have to deal with, the challenges that are actually there. We have been thinking about that.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, 1879 58th Avenue, Surrey. We give a warm invitation to you and your family to attend the Western Bible Conference in our congregation in Cloverdale from Friday the 31st of July through to Sunday the 2nd of August. The meetings will be advertised on our webpage, cloverdalefpc.ca. Do visit our page for the times of those services, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and our Facebook page as well, will have the details of these meetings. During the month of July, we are sharing old messages from our conference with you here on our programme. Today's preacher is Pastor John Greer from Northern Ireland, and his subject is A Way Forward in Difficult Times. A Way Forward in Difficult Times. May the Lord bless the ministry of his word to your soul.
In Ephesians chapter 2, 21 and 22, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. And remember, the church at Ephesus had both Jews and Gentiles in it. And chapter 2 of Ephesians is a marvelous chapter, especially the second half of it, because it's teaching the great truth that there is only one body of believers, comprised of Jews and Gentiles both, who are brought together into that one body through their union with Jesus Christ. Thereby they are united with each other. And then toward the close of the chapter, Paul says this, ye are builded together. Who is builded together? Jewish converts, Gentile converts, they are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And so every individual has the Holy Ghost living in the soul. And the church of God as a company has the Holy Spirit living among them and dwelling in them. They are the habitation of God by means of, through the Holy Spirit, living in all of them, making them his temple, making them his dwelling place. And that means that God, because his Holy Spirit is God, he's God the Holy Ghost, is living in their hearts. And that's a striking thing. When a company of believers gather together in a Christian meeting like this, having the Holy Spirit is the one thing they truly possess. When we come together, whether it's now or in whatever our churches might be, I'm from Northern Ireland, as you know, and we have congregations back there, the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, as it's called. Not everybody is saved by any means. I'm not saying everybody here today is saved. Only those who have the Holy Spirit in their hearts. But when true Christians come together, having the Holy Ghost living in them is the one thing they truly possess. In other areas, we're all different. Well, we look different, and we're different ages, and so on and so forth, and different situations in life with regard to where we live or our jobs or whatever you may be in life. All these variations, all these differences. My dear friend, the Lord's church is not built by means of clones. All the differences are there, but there's one thing that unites us, and it is God by his Spirit is living in our hearts. Now get a hold of that today. The Holy Ghost is symbolized by this oil. That oil was the potential for the deliverance of this woman and her two sons. And therefore, by extension, having the Holy Ghost living in our hearts creates and provides the potential for overcoming the difficulties and the challenges and the opposition that we face in our Christian lives and in the work of God. Elisha's question there is interesting. Just read it again, think about it again. What hast thou in the house? There was oil in that house. As I thought of that, I saw this little thought, this little detail. The Holy Spirit is not found anywhere in this world except in the Church of Jesus Christ, in the sense of dwelling in people. The Holy Spirit is not found among men in general. He's not found there today among those who are ungodly, who are opposed to the Lord, who don't believe the book, who have no time for Christ. He's not found there. I know the Holy Ghost in his Godhood is everywhere in the sense that he is sent forth by the Father and the Son as the great executor of the Godhead in every realm and in every way, but with regard to having him in the house, it's only in the heart of the Christian. It's only in the hearts of a company of true believers that the Holy Spirit is found. You know what the Lord's Word says about the world, about the ungodly? Jude verse 19. Having not the Spirit. Having not the Spirit. You who are not saved should stop and think about that. Because you can pretend to be a Christian, you may claim to be a Christian, but if you have not the Holy Spirit, you belong to the world of the ungodly and the lost. And therefore, how serious these things are. Let me say this as well with regard to this matter of defining this potential. The Holy Spirit is with his people. He has not departed from them. The Holy Spirit never leaves the child of God in the sense of abandoning that soul where he has taken up his residence. Oh, I know we grieve the Spirit, the Bible speaks of that, and we can quench the Spirit by our follies and by other ways of doing things, and yet that does not mean that the Holy Ghost has left the child of God or left those who are truly the Lord's. He abides with them. There was oil in the house here. Things were dark, things were bleak, things were difficult, but the oil was still there. The Holy Ghost is with the Lord's people through all of their challenges, their difficulties, all that the church has to face. The Spirit remains. I think of what Haggai writes, and this is fascinating. The prophet Haggai, the twin prophet with Zechariah, those two men ministered to the captives who came back out of Babylon. And they had gone to Babylon for their sins. And even when they came back to Jerusalem and Judea, they did not live the way they were supposed to live. The first chapter of Haggai tells you that they were giving more attention to their own houses and to their own livings and physical well-being than they were to the house of God. And yet in Haggai chapter 2 and verse number 5, the prophet Haggai says this. I want to read it to you. He says this. He says, "Be strong," verse 4, "O Joshua, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not." I tell you, that is a phenomenal statement. It takes you right back to Egypt when they were brought out of the house of Egypt, the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. And from that point onwards, Israel were continually guilty of backsliding and sin and departure from God, so that eventually they were carried into captivity in Babylon. And now God has intervened and brought them back out, but he tells them through Haggai, through all that, my spirit never left you. The true child of God can backslide and grow cold and careless, but the Lord does not abandon that person. And the Lord will eventually draw that person home, back to his or her first love. It may be today that you're wandering, my friend, cold and careless, having grown worldly in your ways and in your behavior and your thinking, and you need to get back to your first love, and you're grieving the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost, the gracious Spirit of God, is still in your heart. Hear his cry, heed his bidding, and return to your first love, to the Lord who died for you on the cross. So we define the potential for this pot of oil. It's a symbol of the Spirit of God. But it only must be defined. It must be defended. Think again about the woman. She said, "Thy servant hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." And when I read her words, I hear her speaking apologetically, even disbelievingly. "All I have is a pot of oil, and what good is that?" That's what rings out here. That's what comes through her words. She questioned the potential of the pot of oil in terms of dealing with her situation and her problem. And in that, there's a reflection of many who profess the name of Christ toward difficult days. They say something like this: "There's no potential for deliverance or for victory in the face of the difficulties that prevail." They become very pessimistic. They get this morbid outlook, even with regard to the work of God. And they say maybe even something like this. They go as far as this: "We might as well give up. So bad. Things are so far gone." And you know, that is very prevalent, that pessimistic view. That, as I put it, this unbelieving, disbelieving reply that this woman gave: "All I have is a pot of oil." And she's really saying, that doesn't amount to much. My dear friend, that pessimism is disastrous. We've got to see and to understand today that there is no way forward, there is no way out of our dilemmas except by the Spirit of the living God. You think of this woman's actual situation, and you know, it not only focused on her, but it focused especially on her two sons. Her future, and indeed their future, it was all wrapped together, but especially the future of her two boys. They were in danger of being swept away. The creditor was coming to take them. And I've already said what that means. They were going to be taken into slavery, carried away out of her care, away from her influence. You see, brethren and sisters, the rising generation is in dire danger. Your sons and your daughters, your young people, are facing incredible odds, pressures. The creditor, the one who wants to come and take them, the one who wants to get a hold of them and seize them and destroy them and take them into the slavery of sin and into the bondage of this old world, he's ready to do that. And therefore, the whole future here of the work of God is really wrapped up in our young people. Soon my day will be gone. My ministry is well nigh over. I don't know how much time I've left in this world. I don't know how I look to you, that doesn't matter, but I know my age, and I know that in the natural course of life, I can't be here much longer. Parents, you need to think that way. The future lies in our young people. We're thinking about this potential to overcome difficulties, and we're finding that we need to defend that potential, because that pessimistic view is going to rob our young people of what the Lord can do in them and through them, what he can make of them and how he can use them. And my dear friend, rather than having the pessimistic view, we need to see that there is a grand and a glorious potential lying in our young people as they are infilled with the Spirit and dwelt in by the Spirit and used by the Holy Ghost to become the next generation of ministers and missionaries and elders and deacons and leaders in the work of God. We need to see that, because they're under attack. Therefore, pray for them and labor among them to see them brought to know the power of God in their lives and be used for His glory. There's the potential. Then there is the promise. And I want you to say this. Look at the words of verse 4, the closing words of verse 4. Elisha's words to her. Thou shalt set aside that which is full. Do you see those words the way I'm putting them to you now? That there's a promise down this passage. She said, all I have is a pot of oil. But as Elisha deals with her and speaks to her and tells her what to do and the way to overcome this situation and get all those other empty pots into the whole arena, he says, thou shalt set aside that which is full. That was essentially a promise. That every available pot that could be found and would be presented to this woman would be filled with the oil that was in that first pot, so that every pot available to that woman and presented to that woman would be filled with oil and would then be used by the woman to meet her need. And so there was inherently in what Elisha was saying to this lady, there was a promise that there is something going to happen here that you could never have imagined. My dear friend, we are being shown here that this promise points to the infilling of vessels with the Spirit of the living God, so that in the experience of God's people through that infilling of their lives by the Holy Ghost, there will be a meeting of all the needs and an overcoming of difficulties and problems. That's the promise that is here. This woman received this promise from someone who himself was anointed by oil, as I've already indicated. Elisha's the prophet. You'll read about his anointing in 1 Kings 19, verse 16. He is set apart to be a prophet. He is anointed by oil. Therefore, according to the custom and the culture of those days, he's anointed by oil. And that's representative of the Holy Spirit coming upon him. And therefore, when we think about that, we can see that she went to the person who himself was already anointed with oil. And she sought his help. And he's the one who intervened, and he's the one who declared the answer, and he's the one who gave her the promise. You take that one pot of oil, and I am telling you, every empty vessel will be filled, and you will be able to overcome your problems. And so he is the anointed one. I want you to think about that. Because when we read the Word of God carefully, we find that we obtain our possession of the Holy Spirit and our infilling of the Holy Spirit from the one who was anointed by the Spirit without measure, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For you.
As the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, I do invite you and your family to our Western Bible Conference. This conference is in its third year and has moved around the various churches that we have in Williams Lake and in Calgary. And this year it is coming to our congregation in Cloverdale. The conference takes place from Friday the 31st of July. There will be an evening meeting, and then it continues on Saturday the 1st of August. There will be a gathering in the morning, and then there will be a meeting again in the evening. On the Lord's Day, the 2nd of August, we will be meeting at 10:30 a.m. in the morning and 6 p.m. in the evening, or normal times of worship. The preacher will be Pastor Logan Elder, who is the minister of Orlando Free Presbyterian Church in Florida in the United States. And he will be coming to bring God's word to our conference. We do warmly invite you and your family to come and join us. The various details and the times of the services are available on our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. That email address will be repeated at the end of today's program in a few moments. You can also email me, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. You can also contact me on telephone 604-576-1091. And I'll be more than happy to pass on the various details of our conference to you. It is also important for Christians to have access to good and sound Christian literature. And this was one of the desires that we had for our conference when it commenced in 2024. And as a result of that, we will be having a book table at our conference on the Friday evening and on the Saturday. There will be a wide range of Reformed and evangelical materials available, books for children, devotionals, theological books, and a selection of Bibles. We also love the Puritans and the Puritan literature, and there will be a wide selection of Puritan books for you to consider. The Puritans loved the Word of God. They loved to expound the Scriptures and to emphasize the importance of righteous living, of living your life as an example that points to the Lord Jesus Christ and His so great salvation. They desire to know more of God day by day, and that is the aim for our conference, so that our congregation, those who attend, will grow in their spiritual walk. And so we invite you and your family to join us, and do visit our website for those additional details. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all His fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.